Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. On days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. Give me the power to conquer the hour in everything I do. I lift up my voice and I sing songs of joy to the God who reigns on high. You give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to Him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. So with joy I will shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. Sit at His table and drink of salvation and praise His holy name. I'll dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, He's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. He has become my Lord.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 29th of May, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Road Trip. And yep, you guessed it, I'm on the road again. Before we begin the program, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, holy meaning separated, consecrated, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shemai, and welcome to the program. If you wish to help us with a donation or to read about some of the issues like health and some of the comments and commentaries made by other pertinent authors, you can go to our website, byyahwehsdesign.com. www.thebiblecast.com. For comments, questions, constructive criticism, please go to bydpastordan@yahoo.com. We give a hearty thanks to those who have invited us into their homes or in their cars, wherever they may be listening to this program, and giving us their precious time, because we do know that that is not a luxury most have these days. People are working many, many hours just to keep food on the table, especially if you're white. And to those who have helped us financially, again, thank you very much. A couple quick quotes, because I want to keep these quotes in your mind. Thomas Jefferson, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Praise Yahweh. There are governors. There are state legislators. There are citizens. There are sheriffs in this nation who are beginning to understand what Thomas Jefferson meant by that quote. Another patriot, another founding father, Thomas Paine, had this to say: the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Another way of saying what Mr. Paine was trying to say here is, your fear of the beast gives strength and power to the despot or the tyrant. Your fear. Now you understand why all the fear porn in the different mainstream media sources. Turn away from it, people. You are a child of the Father. At least I hope you are. And if you're another race, you can be part of the crowd that's, if you bless Abraham, you shall be blessed. Isn't that what the word says? So those, as the woman in Matthew, who came and asked for a blessing for herself and her sick daughter, yeah, she was a dog. That's what Christ himself called her. But in the end, was she not blessed because of her attitude? For her accepting her position? Yeah. So we got some out there. And again, I had to go to prayer with Father because my temper was a bit raised this morning. I don't know if I even want to go into why it was raised. And so I've asked forgiveness of the Father. I ask forgiveness of you, the audience, because my ire was up a bit, okay? Not to the point of breaking fellowship with my brothers and sisters, but with this attitude that I have run into within identity circles over the years, whether it was in person, such as when Pastor Eli and I used to go to the meetings, and sometimes we were speakers, and sometimes we were just part of the congregation there to listen. But we have people amongst us. You know, we criticize the Judeo-Christians for playing church. And they do play church. Yahweh is far from them. And I even have those kind of people in my own family. You know, we're trying to hit people with the smallest portions of the law. And we have many that do this. I've met them over the years. When we can't even get our brothers and sisters to simply obey the food laws. So we criticize the Judeo-Christian church for playing what we call playing church. And yet we have members of our own group, those who know their identity, who, in my words, want to play temple. The veil in the temple was rent because those items no longer mattered to our Father. Messiah, who was Yahweh in a flesh body, ripped it and said, I'm done with you. Why is that? Because we love to play either temple or church. We love to go through all the minutiae of the law, the garments, the hair, on and on and on. Was it a requirement at one time? If we believe what the writings say, yes. Did they follow it? No, they didn't do a very good job then. They sure as hell not going to do a good job now. And Father finally said, I'm done with it. Because when you ritualize our faith, people get into the rituals. That's why Father said, even your prayers don't reach me. Because why? Because I'm far from you. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy, in two different verses, it says, circumcise your hearts and stop being stiff-necked. That's Deuteronomy, by the way, in the old parchments. And I've got another one here before we're going to move on. Yahweh says very clearly in the Word that He put His law into our hearts. Did He say that or did He not? Now here's why I'm saying that. How long have Israelites been walking on this planet carrying a Bible along with them to read on a daily basis? The answer to that is only for a few hundred years. Oh, okay, so for a few hundred years you had the ability to have a Bible, even though many do not carry a Bible. So what did our brothers and sisters do for all of those hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the creation of this thing we call Habiblos, which is the Greek word for the book, and that's where we get the word Bible, Biblos, Bible. So what did our brothers and sisters, our ancestors, do when they did not have the written word? I think Father covered it. He said, I've written my law on the hearts of the people who love me. There is the definitive characteristic that sets a man apart. If you carry Father, a love for Father in your heart, He implants through the Holy Spirit His law. If I grew up on a colony out in the far Pacific on an isolated island, I would know that murdering the innocent is wrong because that law is on my heart. I would know that loving my children and raising them correctly would be the proper thing to do because that law is on the heart of an Israelite. As one lady told me one time, we are the loving, caring, sharing people. Why is that? Because it's ingrained in us. It doesn't come from some text. It's ingrained in us. What sets us apart from the rest of the world? The way we act, the way we talk, the way we live. That's what sets apart an Israelite. And so, yes, I have to admit, my ire got a little bit out of control this morning. I was somewhat livid. Why? Because like my father when he walked this earth, he got upset with Israelites wanting to play church or play temple. When his heart, meaning the Israelites' heart, was far from him. Because even in the word it says, administer my law with mercy. I don't dare see you administering my law as a sledgehammer. We're trying to bring the family of Israel back together, and we can't agree on almost any issue. We can't even agree on when a day starts. We can't agree on a calendar. We sure as hell don't live as a nation as they did thousands of years ago. It's a difficult job to get the stiff-necked Israelite to even obey a food law when the food laws are for your own health, as all of our Father's law is. I had a young man that I had occasion to meet on this road trip try to tell me he was an atheist. I know damn well he's not an atheist. He's trying to convince himself and me that there is no God, but inside he knows there's a God. He knows there's a creator. He knows there's a right and a wrong. And where does that come from? Does the animal kingdom operate off right and wrong? Does the animal kingdom have a spirit? The answer to that, obviously, is no. They operate by pure instinct. We, on the other hand, are singularly the only spiritual beings on this planet. Ergo, take your law or your theory of evolution and throw it right out the door. Not only the fact that it violates the third law of thermodynamics that says things, when left upon their own, go from an ordered state to a disordered state. You don't evolve upward, you devolve downward when left on your own. So evolutionists, put that in your pipe and smoke it. The laws of thermodynamics don't even agree with you. Your heart should even say that it's a lie. So today we make fun of those playing church, but we also have those that want to play temple. I'm sorry, those days are over. Bring me into your heart is what Father says. Into your hearts. And stop beating each other up with things that you can prove neither one way or the other. Because you weren't there. You did not walk with the Father. Even those that walked with him for 3.5 years argued amongst themselves. You've got Israelites today that say we should not be armed because it's a violent thing. But those that walked with Christ were armed. And Peter was even really willing to use his weapon to kill a man. And yet you got some that say, oh, that's violence. Oh, please. Oh, we shouldn't be violent. Really? Yeah, you should be disarmed so that your enemies can have a field day with you, your wife, your children. As the poor Russian people found out about when the Red Horde came across. And we, the United States of America, Canada, Britain, France, we assisted the Red Horde into killing our German cousins who stood against the Bolshevik, Jew, communist, Red Terror. Yeah, that's what we did. Aren't you so proud of that? I know I'm so proud of that. My German cousins who stood and fought to the death to stop the Red Horde, and we went over there and killed them so the Red Horde could murder tens upon tens of millions. Yeah, that's something to be proud of this Memorial Day. I don't blame the poor soldiers like my grandfather who fought in World War II in the Marine Corps because he didn't know any better. He trusted the government. He trusted his leaders in the military when they were liars. I'm sick of the lies. I'm sick of the pretenses. And yeah, I'm upset. And Brother Steve, I ask your forgiveness if you're taking offense to this, or Brother Eli or anybody else, but I'm tired of it. Stop playing temple. Stop playing church. In your heart is where he belongs. And if he's in your heart, you have a love for your brothers and your sisters. Let's start acting like frickin' family and stop playing church and stop playing temple. Or haven't you read where he said, those mean nothing to me? And for an awful long time, they sacrificed an animal, an innocent animal, shed his blood because of our ignorance. In our stiff-neckedness, to where at some point Father said, that is over, when he walked this earth. It's done. You people have beat that one to death. You go out and you commit all kind of crimes and you kill an innocent animal and think it's okay. We are an amazing people. I will say that. We are an amazing people. The things we do to each other and about each other and think the Father's going to bring us back together. I pray daily for him to come back because I'm sick and tired of the infighting. We're supposed to be a family. And as a family, we deserve to look out for one another and to teach one another and to build each other up. And what we're going to find out here in the near future, we have each other's backs when the enemy is at the door. And I hope you're paying attention to what I just said. There's some people say, well, my children or grandchildren are going to have to deal with that issue. No, they're not. You are. Your enemies are making the plans as we speak. So what are we going to do? Sit around and divide our camp over issues that are moot? And I can prove to you they're moot because I am going to say what I'm going to say. And I've asked the Father, if I am wrong, then strike me down. And I say it publicly now. If what you have put into my heart so strongly is wrong, Father, I would rather die today than to continue to say it. And he knows I mean it. It would be far better for me to be buried in the dirt than to lead a single Israelite astray. But inside my heart, I know what I know. Now, we're beating a dead horse on the issue of mutilation, and I'm not even going to go into it. I'm just simply going to say, if you in your heart of hearts believe that somehow that makes you closer to the Father, then please go do it. But if you're going to do it according to the law. Because you're not. And I'm speaking about the part of the law that says on the eighth day you do this mutilation. I'll guarantee you there's very far and few between you that did it on the eighth day. Hey, that's in the book too. And again, if you believe in your heart of hearts that that's the right thing to do, then by God, do it. As for me and my house, we're not going down that path. And everybody that I talk to, no, because I take a different tact. In spite of what you have in your English Bibles, or even what you claim is Hebrew, since all of the Paleo-Hebrew texts are gone. They've been gone. All we have is the block Hebrew. That was a translation by who? Let's see, around 900 AD, they invented block Hebrew. The Dead Sea Scrolls are in block Hebrew. So that's not all that long ago. That's why the Septuagint Bible was written, because the Hebrew texts were disappearing. So before you divide the camp over an issue such as that, let's go to our hearts. Let's have a consensus of the heart. Let's pretend for a minute the Bible doesn't even exist, because it didn't exist until a few hundred years ago. What did exist is Adam, the sons and daughters of Isaac, who walked this earth and took on different names as the tribes went through Europe and other places. By the way, Europe means white face. The land of the people with white faces. Because that's where Father sent us and gave us. And I hope my European brothers and sisters wake up. It's your land. Stop buying the Jew lie that this belongs to everybody. No, it doesn't. Europe means white face. It means it for a reason. That's our land. Just as America was founded by my white ancestors. This is our land. I don't have to kiss the ass on some minority because some Jew says so. Wake the hell up, people. They are your enemies. They are the Antichrist. And if they have their way, they will destroy us physically. So I take a different tact, and I apologize if I offend you, but I'm saying what I'm saying. It's time to form our ranks for self-defense, to circle the wagons, so to speak. And again, I don't mean to be upset, but that just upsets me. It upsets me. How somebody can take a singular issue and use it as a wedge between our people. We're having a difficult time bringing our people together as a family. We can't even act as a family. Sometimes even when we're blood relatives, we can't even act as a family. And there is no ritual at this point in time. There's no ritual that sets us apart. It's the very fact that you love the Father with all your heart, and you live it. You live it. You don't just talk it. You live it. That sets you apart. People notice that. How do I know that? Because I've experienced it. They didn't come up to me and ask me questions because I had a beard or didn't have a beard, or because of what clothing I had on. Or certainly not because some part of my anatomy was missing. They come up and ask me because of an attitude, because of a passion for our Father and truth. What did he say? I am the truth and the way. Isn't that what he said? The life, the truth, and the way. Truth is our Father. Our Father is truth. If you love me, obey my commandments. Isn't that what he said? And I know there's people going to say, all right, let's go back and play temple again. I don't believe that's what Christ meant. Because he said what? I gave my law to you for a benefit. It's not a heavy burden. The law is there for your benefit. Why? Because the law talks about what foods to eat and not eat. Oh, there you go. That's health. Isn't it funny how the natural health classes and all that we take teach exactly what the Bible says? He's got laws in there about agriculture. Do you want healthy fruit trees? Then follow the law. You don't have to. You don't have to obey the food laws. Of course, you're going to suffer for it. Just like my child, when I tell him, don't put your finger in that fire on the stove. I've got that burner on to make a cup of tea. Don't put your finger in there. Well, you can disobey it. You'll still be my son or daughter. I'll still love you. But you're going to have one hell of a burn on your finger when you stick it in that fire. It's no different than our Father's law. There are foods that you eat, there's foods you don't eat. Why? Because they're not good for you. They're not food. Just because it walks or crawls on the ground or flies in the air doesn't mean it's food. Going down to the grocery store, just because it sits on a shelf and it's called food down at the grocery store doesn't mean it's good for you. There's plenty of women walking around with the anatomy to make a wife. Doesn't mean she's good for you. We've thrown all that away too. Because it was old-fashioned. We allowed the Jew into our brains with that one too. Oh, it's old-fashioned to have courtship. It's old-fashioned to have mom and dad, aunts and uncles, grandma and grandpa to be part of the picking of my bride. Oh yeah, that's old-fashioned. So look at the mess we're in now. We are a stiff-necked people. There is no doubt about it. Even when the law is obviously there for your benefit, you don't even give a shit. Excuse my French, but you don't. You just don't. The law was put there for your health, to maintain a healthy temple, that you might have a good long life, that you could learn, you could watch your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren grow. You could pass on what you've spent a lifetime to learn. But no, we'd rather eat what we feel like eating, do what we feel like doing, and then claim that there's an evil God that hates us. Really? So you create your own mess, and you're going to blame it on Father Yahweh. Or on Christ, when he came to earth as Christ, as our Redeemer. And we're going to go to the book of Isaiah and further show that indeed Yahweh is our Redeemer. He took on a different name when he walked this earth, only because that name implies Yahweh saves. Yahshua. Oh, how about that? Yahshua. Yahweh saves. And it's no wonder he had a forlorn look upon his face when he walked this earth. Look at the condition. And that's one of the things on this road trip. The condition of the white race today is pathetic at best. Pathetic. Oh, I know you don't have the resources you had a decade ago. We're giving all of our resources to the minorities and to the Jews because somehow white people think that makes them better. I haven't figured that one out yet. How the hell does that make it better? You're giving your hard-earned money and your resources and your businesses and your stores over to the people that hate you. And you go, oh, no, 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 it's really good. All these races and the Jews, they're really good people. Really? As they come up in number and power and strength, what's happening to the white race? Yeah, you're finding out how much they love you. They hate you. They curse you in Yiddish and you're too stupid to even know what they're saying. They curse you in Spanish and you're too stupid to even know what they're saying. Vaya. Yeah, we are stiff-necked. We're ignoramuses. We're gonna sit around and play church. Let's play church. Come on, let's play church. Let's see how that does when they come down the road in tanks and machine guns and drones and all this other stuff to annihilate you and your family. But we're going to sit around and play church because that'll save us. Because God, because Father Yahweh is going to honor us for playing church and driving wedges in between us. Yeah, let's do it some more. Come on. We're doing such a great job of being family. Come on. We can take it. Unbelievable. Isaiah 54. Sing, barren, you who did not give birth, break out into singing and cry aloud, you who did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says Yahweh. What's he trying to tell us there? Your position in life doesn't matter, meaning your rank. Yahweh's not a respecter of ranks and titles. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out on the right hand and the left, and your offspring, literal offspring, will possess the nations and settle in desolate cities. What's he saying there? He's saying, have faith. Go ahead and lengthen the cords and strengthen your tent stakes, because you're going to need it, because I'm going to bless you. Do not be afraid, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be confounded, for you will not be disappointed. For you will forget the shame of your youth. Are we not like youth? We certainly act it today. And the reproach of your widowhood you shall remember no more. For your maker is your husband. Yahweh of armies is his name. We have a maker. How about that? The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. His name was Yeshua. Yahweh saves. But the church world wants to make a third God called Jesus. Jesus. As if he's separate. He will be called the Elohim God of the whole earth, for Yahweh has called you as a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit. A wife. What did Christ talk about? Oh, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yahweh has called you as a wife, even a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your Elohim God. Yeah. Yahweh. Okay. Isaiah 33 and 22 for further evidence, if you will. For a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In overflowing wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have mercy on you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer. So Yahweh, our Creator, our Redeemer, our King, our Lawgiver, our Judge, we'll have mercy on us, but we can't have mercy on each other. We would rather beat each other up. We'd rather stick knives in each other's backs. That's what we would rather do. No, don't have a discourse with each other. No. We're going to do our laundry out in the open. We're going to do our laundry where everybody can see it. We're not going to talk to each other. We're going to put knives in each other's backs in public. That's a great showing of unity amongst us, isn't it? You see, the leaders can't even get it straight, and we're going to come together as a people. You know, it's a good thing Yahweh is coming, because he said no flesh would be saved, didn't he? No flesh would be saved lest I come quickly. I pray, Yahweh, you do come quickly, because you're 100% right. We can't get the least of your instructions right, because we can't even act like we love each other. We can't even care about each other the way family's supposed to do, because we're too busy beating each other up. We're too busy sticking knives in each other's back while our enemy gathers strength. Our enemy is united in his hatred of Yahweh's children. They obey their father. They are despots. They are sick. They are depraved. They're flaunting their depravity in your face. Why do they do that? Because we can't come together. It's actually quite easy for them. They've got their fake money system to buy off our politicians, to buy off our so-called leaders. That's not a problem. They control the media, so that's not a problem. And they pretty much control us because we're so busy being stiff-necked, hating one another, beating each other up, they're getting away with their shenanigans. Because where on God's green earth should we have allowed these perverts to get away with what they've done? It started a long time ago, folks, back in 1974, when these perverts, these antichrists, these Zionist, communist, bloodthirsty Jews told you it was okay to murder a child. And you bought it! You drank the Kool-Aid! But you went back to playing church. You're really good at that. You're not worth anything. You're the salt that's lost its savor, as Father said. You're only good for one thing. What is that? Oh, wait a minute. I read that somewhere. The salt that loses its savor. Oh, that's right. It's only good for one thing, to be thrown onto the ground and tread upon by under the feet of men. It doesn't mean Adam kind. It means all these other races. What's happened to the white race? Oh, that's right. They're being tread upon, aren't they? Yep, sure as hell are. Europe's under an invasion, and it's soon to come here. It's soon to come to roost here in the United States, the United Sovereign States of America, where the governors and the people of the state have lost their minds. They have forgotten completely of what it's all about. They've forgotten their sovereignty. They've forgotten who our King of Kings is, but we're great at playing church. We really are. Our playing church will save us. We can throw Bibles at them. Or better yet, with the mentality of the white man today, we'll invite the hordes as they come offshore to murder us. We'll invite them to go to church with us. That'll save us. That's how stupid we've become. That'll save us. Because after all, we're in church and God's chosen people, the Antichrist, communist, Bolshevik Jews, someday are going to repent. And they're going to become our brothers and sisters and help us in our fight. Let's see. It's Jewish money that's behind all of this. But they're going to repent someday. Let me know how that works for you, you church players, you temple players of the white race. Let me know how that works out for you when you stand out there and throw all of your legalisms at the enemy coming at you. I'm going to be in a foxhole with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be spitting 7.62 caliber lead at my enemies. You can throw the Bible at them all you want. You can invite them to your churches. You can even pray for them. Let me know how that works for you too. Me, I'm praying for a good aim, as David did when he stood against Goliath. I'm picking up stones. It's called 7.62 by 39 millimeter ammunition. I'm picking up stones for my slingshot, which is called an AK-47. And I'm preparing for my enemy, because it's Goliath coming over that hill. And I'm going to pray for a good aim to put one right between his eyes. That's how I'm going to prepare. But you guys do whatever the hell you want to do, because you're full of crap. It's time to form an army and stop playing church. We're good at playing church. Those days are over. It's time for defense. It's time for action. The enemy is at the door, as the Philistines were so long ago. You do whatever you want. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to pray Father will bless it. And then we'll see who's standing at the end. Verse 9, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness will not depart from you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says Yahweh, who has mercy on you. Praise Yahweh, he has mercy on us, because ain't none of us would be alive. Ain't none of us would make it into the kingdom if it depended on us being obedient. Because we're not. We're the most disobedient people on the planet. We don't even care about our own children. We don't care about who they date. We don't care about their children. We don't care who they go out with. We take more care in the breeding of our damn animals than we do in our own children. That shows you where the state of our people are. At the same time we claim to be believers, we're disobeying virtually every rule in the book. And I'm not talking about the minutia laws or any of that. I'm talking about the stuff that makes just perfect sense. We'd rather listen to the Jew propaganda and go about playing church, because that's what we're good at, sitting in the pews and playing church. When Christ said that you had better be armed. Or as it says in the old parchments, you're not only know the ways of war and the weapons of war, but you're to teach it to your families, men. It's our job, men. The ways of war and the weapons of war. If I got to know the ways of war and weapons of war, at some point, Yahweh of armies is going to need soldiers, isn't he? Not pew setters. Not people waving around pieces of paper claiming that they're somehow better than everybody else because of their adherence. What's Father say about the man who would lay down his life for his friends? Verse 11, you afflicted, tossed with storms, and not comforted. Behold, I will set your stones in beautiful colors, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by Yahweh, and your children's peace will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not be afraid, and far from terror, for it shall not come you. Does that sound like Psalm 91? Sure does. What did we read about that quote that says in the beginning here? The tyrant gets away with what he does because of your fear of resistance. Fear. Fear is a sign of what? Disbelief. You know, we talk about the Jews and the rest of these antichrists that do what they do. Put it in your face, these feminists, these perverts. But you know, they couldn't do a damn thing if you and me were doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, really, you need to look in the mirror. You want to see where the problem lies? Take a look in the mirror. And as one person told me here recently, I can't believe in a God that would allow all of this. And he was pointing to society around us. Well, Yahweh didn't create this, folks. You and I did. You and I did, by our actions and inactions. Yahweh did not create this. He created a beautiful world, and he set in motion an absolutely beautiful system, and Adam was put here to tend it. That means to keep it, protect it, to bring law and order. There's only one group of people that ever brought law and order wherever they traveled, and that is the Caucasian Israelites. That's it. If you simpletons want to believe some other historical information being put out by some Jew publisher or Jew media, you go right ahead, but facts are facts. And that's why they're hell-bent on destroying the white Israelite race, because they are Yahweh's people. They're the only ones that carry his spirit. It was breathed into Adam. His creativity, his initiative, his ability to think outside the box. That's why we're the inventors and creators of so many things, because we have a very small portion of our Heavenly Father within us. The ability to see beyond and to see far out. And to say, what if? and to question. It's that same ability that made me question the mutilation of our children. And I would pray that it would make every single one of you question it. Questioning is a part of us. It's a part of that being of Yahweh. You don't take what some quack tells you at face value based on what? When inside you the law has been written. And what the Holy Spirit tells me is my Heavenly Father is not a fool. My Heavenly Father does not make mistakes. We do. We make plenty, including those who translate. But common sense, common decency, the ability to question, the ability to reason, when knowledge is given to you, I believe Father expects us to use it. I will stand on that. I will stand in front of my Father and without any fear of how I feel, I will explain myself when that day comes, and I have no fear that I will be condemned for it. None whatsoever. Again, if you want to play church or play temple, you go right ahead. As for me and my house, we got another direction to go. And for all the Israelites who feel the same way, we have a war coming and a fight to fight. And you guys can play that game all you want. I'm done with it. It's time to close ranks. It's time to prepare for what's coming. And it's a war, a literal war against those who hate you. They hate you so much it's almost indescribable. And you're still running around as if you don't know what the hell's going on. Sometimes I wonder if the white man's brain functions at all. Have you been drinking the chlorinated and fluorinated water so long that your brain has ceased to function? Have you been eating the GMO foods for so long that your molecules no longer work? You know, for years I was made fun of at work because I wouldn't eat pork or I wouldn't eat shrimp or crab. But my pineal gland still works. My antenna, my third eye within the skull that Yahweh created still functions. I still hear the Father speak to me. I still feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's why I say what I say with boldness, because I don't care what you think. I don't give one rat's rear end what any of you think. I care about one and one only. That's my Father and the Holy Spirit that comes from my Father. I know He's there. I feel sorry for you that doubt it. I feel sorry for you that think that you can somehow create your own route to salvation. Those words in the original Greek mean saving from harm here on terra firma, the earth, the erats. Saving from physical harm has nothing to do with the hereafter. But we'll go ahead and keep playing church, yeah, because we're good at it. It hasn't done a damn thing for us as our country falls further and further into the abyss, but we're going to continue to do it because we are insane at this point in time. We are insane, doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. Verse 15, behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whoever gathers together against you will fall because of you. What's his Father trying to tell us here? Because of us coming together as a family and as an army, men. I was talking to my son, and we came up with an idea, and I'm going to start presenting it in a series of lectures on this radio station here starting next Wednesday. It's going to be based on some books that I've got from Michael Walsh and Michael King. that talk about what the National Socialist Workers' Party, German Workers' Party, did back in the 1920s, because their program was built upon biblical principles. Their program took a nation that was down on its face in the dirt and brought them back within a few years. Their program was excellent. Now, we can't call it the same thing they called it then, because the Jew has done such a great job at denigrating everything about it. But the principles taught are timeless. I've got a book on the history of the Waffen-SS, and if you've never read about the Waffen-SS, and that simply means the armed. Waffen is German for armed SS, which was a very select group within the German army. If you have not read the history, and I'm talking about the real history, from the 1920s through the 1940s of what the Waffen-SS was, if you have not read that, shame on you. Because you'll find out it's completely different than what the Jew Bolsheviks in Hollywood have told you. Of course they hated the Waffen-SS, because the Waffen-SS was dedicated to destroying communism, which is Jewish through and through. Of course they hated them. These men were dedicated to the point of giving their lives to stop the Red Horde. And the Waffen-SS was made up of many different nationalities and even different races, because the people of the 1920s and 30s had seen what the Bolsheviks do to innocent men, women, and children. I might add, Christian men, women, and children. They saw firsthand what they did to their relatives. And so they ran to join the Waffen-SS. That's the truth of the matter. If you choose to go on believing the Jew lie, well, shame on you. But the men of Yahweh out there who hear what I'm saying, they're going to know differently. The Holy Spirit will deal with you if you come to know the Father. Because the Father is truth. And He will put in you a desire for truth, the same as He did for me. I don't let the media make up my mind for me. I don't let other people make up my mind for me, no matter how much I love them, no matter how much they're a brother of mine in this message. I don't care. Because each of us walk a different walk. Each of us have different experiences. Each of us have a different path of research. That's why He's told us to work together, not against each other. He said line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because we all have a little piece of the puzzle. It was kind of His way to make sure we work together as a team. We've forgotten all about that. Instead, we've got the egos going to work here. Egos. It's been the greatest detriment to this message that I've ever met in all my years of going to the different gatherings. It's the egos get in the way. The very first rule I have is when an ego is so big that a man has that it fills a room, I walk away. Because I believe the scripture and I believe the Holy Spirit when He says it is the humble. The humble that will be saved. I'll be the first one to admit that I'm just a man. I make plenty of mistakes. Plenty. But I also have a passion for the truth. I have a passion for my people. So much so that it gets me in trouble at times. And again, I don't claim to be perfect, but I do have a perfect love of truth and of my Father. I wish to God my brothers and sisters felt the same way. I wish to God that they would want to take up arms and join me in the field of battle against our enemies. You see this sick, demented, perverted world around us? It's only because we're sitting on our asses not doing anything. Sitting around playing word games, sitting around worrying about what the press might say, sitting around worrying what some demented, effeminate white guy and his family across the street think of us. Who the hell cares? Because we got plenty of effeminate white guys. That's one of the things I've noted quite frequently in my road trip. Where the hell are the men? It's no wonder the white women are in confusion. But that doesn't forgive their race mixing. But it does give credence to their being upset with men. Because men have forgotten how to be men. Yahweh, please. Please come back soon. This is torture. Watching this planet to be abused. This Eretz to be corrupted the way it has. To see our people become a mere shadow of the Aryans that we were supposed to be. Aryan means noble, folks. It's an ancient word. It means noble. Noble. We don't even know what that word means anymore, let alone living it. Verse 16, behold, I have created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon for his work. And I have created the destroyer to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you will prevail. Please take note and get your yellow highlighter out at verse 17 and mark that verse. No weapon that is formed against you will prevail, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Go back and read Psalm 149, people. What honor hath all of his saints? This is the heritage of Yahweh's servants, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahweh. You people can put your faith in whatever you want to. My faith is in one and one source only, my heavenly Father. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of material things. I sure as hell don't have an army behind me. Everybody's too busy beating each other up. Okay, well, go ahead, guys. I will stand till the day I die for my Father Yahweh. That's what I promised when I was a little boy, and I said that prayer up to heaven. Father Yahweh, of course, back then I called him God. I didn't know any better. I said, God, please make me an instrument of your kingdom. Make your words my words, your thoughts my thoughts. I remember it as if it was yesterday. I like to think Father Yahweh honored that prayer. Now, as a little boy saying that prayer, I later grew up to be a man, and there were times I did some things that I'm not too proud of. But my Father in heaven did not forsake me. As King David and many of the other men of the Bible, they did things in their day that weren't exactly worthy of praise. I like to think then that I'm in good company. I'm not a perfect man. That's why none of us, including King David, King Solomon, Joshua, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them said worship them. They followed the Father. They cared about their people. We're not perfect people. That's why Father said, I came and took on flesh and paid the price. I came as the one and only perfect man to show you, to set as an example. And what was the example he taught? He laid down his life for those he loves. I like the one photo that's going around with a caption in the photo. It shows a Spartan soldier. I admire the Spartans. They were warriors. And it says, I don't attack the enemy because I hate them. I don't attack the Jews and all the people that do the work of the Jews because I hate them. I attack them because I love the ones who are behind me. I will do everything I can do while I breathe to stop and eventually destroy the enemies of my people. That's my promise to my father. It's a promise to my ancestors. It's a promise to my children. I know we have an enemy. Unlike most white people today that don't take the time out to even think, let alone study, I have studied for a long time. I know who my enemy is. I know how he operates. And that's why I give out a warning about this guy, Donald Trump. I don't even know anything about Donald Trump. I don't really need to know anything about him. But I do know one thing that is happening when he comes out saying what he's saying is people are rising up. And that's a good thing. People are finally showing some testosterone and some passion about something. But it also is identifying who the enemy of the Antichrist is. Be careful, people. It's okay to support somebody saying the right things, but be careful because you're also being labeled and identified by somebody who hates you. There is so much going on right now, there's only one thing you can do that makes any sense at all, and that is to love Father Yahweh with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. And to trust the Holy Spirit. That's direction, that's comforting, that's instruction coming straight from the source. There's no need for interpretation. There's not even a need for a book. It comes straight from the source. And like I said, I'm going to do some shows because everybody's been talking about the fact we've talked to death about the problems. And really, we have. So what are we going to do about it? And that's what I want to start talking about here real soon. We're going to have a history lesson. And again, why? Because I have done the study. I'm convinced it's true of what the Germans did. Now, why did they fail? I haven't really come to a full conclusion on that yet. Why did we assist in the murder of our German brothers and sisters? Again, I'm not quite sure why, but it wasn't because their plan was not good. And so we're going to have a study about the history of the Waffen-SS from the 1920s and the 1940s. How they got started. What did they believe in? What code of ethics and morality do they have? And let me tell you something. The Waffen-SS were much more moral people than the average white man is today. So, yeah, we beat them, but did that make us better? Because we were under the influence and guidance of Jews, the Antichrist, the very people that our Savior told us to be careful of and to watch out for. And he condemned them. And yet we murdered, and I do mean murdered, many innocent men, women, and children of Germany at the behest of our Edomite masters. We are disobedient people. Another interesting quote is by Mahatma Gandhi. He said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. Perseverance. It's another way of saying have perseverance, just as Christ himself told us. Be overcomers. Persevere. You're on the right track, people. Now's not a time to acquiesce to the enemy. Stop and think about it. Why is the enemy spending so much time and money trying to make you afraid every single day? Trying to convince you you can't win. if they had this thing all wrapped up, they wouldn't waste their money. Trust me, a Jew is not going to spend any money he doesn't have to spend. They're spending a boatload of money through their media and all of their sources trying to convince you that they and their father Satan have this thing all wrapped up. One of the news items I got today had this to say, and this is just a snippet from it. It said, it's happening. State leaders are rising up in opposition to Obama's outrageous bathroom edict. Yesterday, 11 states joined together in a lawsuit against the Obama administration. The suit states that the Obama edict, quote, has no basis in law, end quote, and will cause, quote, seismic changes, end quote, in public school education. The 11 states went on to say that the edict amounts to Obama rewriting federal law by, quote, executive fiat. Well, he's been doing it for quite some time and he's still walking. Why shouldn't he feel like he can do it? Again, we're not acting, are we? We're sitting around playing church because that's what we're good at. We're praying to Father to solve the problem when we have the power to solve it ourselves. What do you think Father's sitting up there thinking? Come on. Clear your minds, turn off your video games, and think for a minute. Father Yahweh, righteous and true and just, sitting up there with his children, sitting down here with all of their numbers and all of their power and all of the wisdom that he gave them from the beginning. And they're sitting around praying for salvation from these tyrants. And Father's just shaking his head. I gave them strength. I gave them my wisdom. I gave them my ability to think and to reason and to initiate action. And they're sitting around as if they can't do anything. They're sitting around playing church and putting daggers in each other's backs, even publicly, which I find absolutely amazing. But they can't do anything about it. Your inaction is action. Your not saying anything is saying volumes. You're sitting on your asses and not taking up arms says a lot. These people are affecting your lives and your children. They're stealing your property. They're stealing your future. They are thieves. They are murderers. They are misfits. You know, we praise people in the Bible such as Phineas, Abraham, Lot, Joshua, King David. We praise them. We think what brave men they were. And what did they do? Did they sit around and just pray? You know, I love you Judeo-Christian pusillanimous preachers when you talk about King David's prayer before he met Goliath. You talk and talk about vengeance is Yahweh's as you try to disarm the sheep. And yet you never finish the verses. Because it was King David saying that prayer and that vengeance belonged to Yahweh as he was picking up the stones to put into his sling. It was also the prayer of David that you don't like to talk about, that Yahweh give him a perfect aim, that his stone might strike a critical spot. Because you got to remember, Goliath had armor on. In fact, his armor was so thick and heavy, the average man could not even pick it up. It took two or three men just to put his armor on him. It took two or three men to carry his spear and his sword. He was a big dude. So he had this armor plating covering most of his body, most certainly covering the critical spots, his torso, his head. So King David said, Father Yahweh, give me not only strength and courage, but give me a good aim. Because my enemy is big and powerful. But here stood David, and he was a young man. He was no little boy. He was a young man, full of testosterone, vigor, strength. But he was still small compared to this giant. And he picked up those stones, and he picked up his sling, and he put that stone in that pouch, and he twirled it around and around and around. Yahweh, give me a good aim. And he let loose that stone, and where did it strike Goliath? The one spot where his armor wasn't. Right between his eyes. And that stone penetrated that thick head and brought Goliath down to his knees. Then what did King David do? The King David in your Bible. He took the sword, and this is how you know he was a man with strength. Because he was able to pick up Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. Preachers don't talk much about that. They sure as hell don't talk much about him carrying that decapitated head into town singing praises to Yahweh as he carried the head of his enemy. King David didn't go out and say, Goliath, let's sit and pray together. Or, hey, Goliath, come on over to church with me because we're going to talk about the scripture today. And how, you know, we should be lovers of each other and all men are equal and such nonsense as that. Come on, Goliath, I'm sure you want to come along, don't you? Do you see King David doing that? Do you see the soldiers of King David that were standing in the background? Did they lay down their weapons and say, come on, all you Philistines, come on, we're going to hold church. We're going to sit around and pray together. Is that what they did? Or do you choose to believe the modern day preacher with his syrupy sweet sermons? Love, love, love. God is a God of love. Well, he's also a God of war. He's also a God of armies. He's also a God of vengeance. Psalm 149 says that he has an army called his saints, his holy ones, his consecrated ones on the earth, whose honor it is to bring about the judgments written on the peoples and the nations. Oh my God. Does that mean we're actually supposed to do something? Does it mean that we're actually supposed to get into a fight? Does it mean that we might actually spill blood of our enemies and of ourselves? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. If you want Yahweh's blessing, you have to put something into action, people. Sitting on your fat asses ain't going to do it. And that's another thing I've noticed in my travels. My God, is it the water? Is it the effect of some force from the outside? What is it with our people? Or is it the effect of the food that we're eating? Oh, no, it couldn't be that because God purified everything. That's what my preacher told me. I can eat anything I want. Our enemy loves it. As you waddle around through the stores and you waddle out to your cars and you waddle through the department stores and you waddle into the bleachers to watch men that are true athletes because you vicariously live your life through the sports athletes because you're fat, dumb, and lazy. That's why sports is so popular, because the white guys are sitting in the bleachers with their 50 pounds of fat hanging over their belts, and they're cheering on people that are actual athletes, people that are actually doing something, people that actually could get hurt. while they sit safely in the bleachers, scarfing down that pork hot dog and swilling down that formaldehyde beer, and wondering why their bodies are falling apart at the age of 30 and 40 years old. No mystery there, people. I got another news item today. Dear Daniel, right now, thanks to your continued pressure, a massive split between the giant GMO and chemical companies and the junk food industry, which produces the food we eat every day, is taking place across America. How about that? In the past 3 months alone, Campbell's Soup, Kellogg's, Mars, General Mills, Danone, and ConAgra have all announced that they will label GMOs in their food products in order to comply with Vermont's first in the nation GMO labeling law, which goes into effect on July 1st, a little more than 30 days from now. Even better, many large food companies like Nestle and Danone are simply announcing that they will remove GMOs from their products completely. This is a seismic shift in how major American food companies are responding to the growing power of the food movement. Pastor Eli, how long ago did we talk about the fact that if you want change, people, it's up to you, the people. You don't vote at the ballot box. That vote counts the least of all your votes. The most important votes you have are in the jury box and in your wallet. Yeah, where you spend your money. You want better food? Stop buying their damn junk. You want better politicians? Stop supporting them. Let them starve. Don't tell me we don't have power. We most certainly have. Less than a year ago, when the House of Representatives passed the Monsanto's Dark Act, these massive changes would have seemed impossible. But because of consistent action, now this says from activists, how about action from believers, people that believe you should have healthy food, we have been able to stand up to Monsanto, Jewish-owned Monsanto, and win time and time again, stalling the Dark Act in the Senate twice this year. How about that? So, you want real food? Take action. Take action. Yep, it might cost you a little bit. You might have to sacrifice some of your soap operas. Maybe you're going to have to miss a game or two of sports. And all you're going to see is non-whites playing anyway, unless you're watching hockey. You know, the NFL, the Negro Football League, the NBA, the Negro Basketball Association, because that's who dominates it now. You started those games, white man, and you've acquiesced. You've walked away from them. You know, I do occasionally turn on a basketball game just to see how much they have polluted the real game of basketball. When I was a boy in school, we played basketball during gym class. And I remember the rules when it was a white man's sport about traveling and different things about palming the ball and the proper dribble and the penalty for traveling, etc. I remember what those were. That's not the way they play basketball today. You see, because when the white man played basketball, it was a game to teach teamwork and strategy. Today, it is more like watching the monkeys in the cages with their acrobatics. And we still call it basketball, but is it the same game? No, it's not. It promotes showmanship. It promotes the individual that thinks he's a grandstander far more than it used to. The guy that can jump the furthest, he can travel. Actually, they're traveling, what used to be called traveling. Today, they ignore it because if you enforce the traveling rules that were in original basketball, the actors, the monkeys on the court couldn't do the acrobatics, which is what the fans want. And that's why the game of basketball has changed. It's what you automatons in the stands want. You don't want to see strategy. You don't want to see teamwork. You don't want to see proper ball handling. You want to see the guys jump around. That shows you the state of the white race. There's no nobility there anymore. We're a joke. The rest of the world's laughing at us, especially in America, where we have no excuse to not know what the hell's going on. We have no excuse with the amount of computers and information at our fingertips. If you just take even a modicum of your daily life, the hours of your day, to do even a modicum of research, you could find the answers. But you don't want to know the answers. You really don't. Pastor Eli talked about, what is it called? E-Sword. Now, the new E-Sword is much better than the one I looked at years ago. I had it loaded on my computer, and I took it back off because I wasn't impressed with it. I could get ones down at the software store. In fact, the program I bought way back, it's almost 20 years ago now. It's hard to believe. It cost me almost $500 way back then, but it was an electronic set of English translations, German, French, Greek, Spanish, Italian, you name it. And it had the Strong's Concordance, and it had Thayer's and Green's lexicons. So I gladly spent it, because doing all those searches by hand in the books was difficult at best and extremely time-consuming. But you see, I was driven. I want the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So I didn't care. I was soon to find out, though, that's not the average white guy, because I bought 1,100 cassette tape lectures by a great number of identity teachers, because I thought my white kinsmen would want to know the truth like me. So I had them all categorized. I had them all labeled. I had them all numbered, because I thought I would be inundated with fellow truth seekers. I even went out and bought two, not just one. I bought two brand new high-speed cassette tape duplicators, because all of my lectures were on cassette tapes. And these things could take a 90-minute tape and duplicate it in about, 2 minutes, 3 minutes at most. Because I anticipated that desire for truth. Well, I got news for you. I think I made at most 8 cassette tapes over the years I carried all that stuff around with me. I think that's about what I had, about 8, maybe 10 at most. At most. Because the fact of the matter is, the white man doesn't care about the truth. He cares about being a comfortable slave. He cares about what people think and what they might call him. You see, what sets us apart from the rest of the people around us isn't what we wear. It isn't how we look. It certainly isn't a missing part of our anatomy. What sets us apart from the rest of the world is what we believe and how we act, what we say, what we defend, what we attack. Do you love the truth with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul? Or do you play the game? Do you play church? And you know the answer to that. So eventually I donated that 1,100 cassette tapes to friends of mine, fellow Israelites in Illinois, to be part of a library. I would hope that they had a better response to that truth and that knowledge than I found. I sold my tape duplicators. I lost money on them, of course. And now hardly anybody ever has a cassette tape anymore. Do I consider it a waste of my time and money? Absolutely not. I learned a lot listening to those lectures. Was I ashamed? Somewhat. that so few of my brothers and sisters wanted to know? Because there was a lot of wisdom in that. And were they all perfect? Were they all 100% accurate? Of course not. But then again, doesn't the Word say, doesn't the Holy Spirit testify to the fact we're supposed to work together and piece all this stuff together as a team? I don't know if you all have a different Holy Spirit than I have. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe I am an anachronism. I had an old friend of mine tell me that one time. Daniel, you came into this world way too late. You should have been born centuries ago. You are an anachronism. When they first said that, I took offense. An anachronism? But the older I get, perhaps that's what I am. But I don't see that as being a bad thing. If I'm in contradiction to what the world's teaching today, I count that as a good thing, because I don't know about you all, but I don't see things working out too well. I see my people who created the wonders of the world, who's in their travels, they created pyramids, they created great works of architecture and sculptures and art. I'm talking about real art, not this Jewish perversion today that poses as art and it looks like a three-year-old and put it together, or some kindergarten student put it together and they call it art, because that's the best a Jew can do. He doesn't have Yahweh's spirit working within him. He's condemned. But that just shows you how convoluted Satan is. How demented Satan is, because look at the works of his kids. Transgenders are allowed in the bathrooms with my daughter and my wife. Excuse me? Homosexuality is just a different lifestyle? Oh, really? Pretty soon it's going to be sex with children is okay, because after all, it's just a thought process. I woke up this morning and thought I was a child, so me having sex with another child must be okay. That's pretty soon the mind of the sinister, demented children of Satan. It takes their kind of brain to come up with this nonsense. The brain of an Israelite could not even conceive of such a stupid thing. But we drank the Kool-Aid. The white race has drank the Kool-Aid. They're walking around as if these people have some kind of authority over us. They buy into the perversion because they're afraid of being called a name, or some worker of iniquity might come to the door and press charges against them. Whatever nonsense you want to believe in. That's how you want to live your life? In fear? Really? I'm well aware of the things the enemy does to people, but why would you allow that to be your guiding force when Yahweh says, my love, my spirit should be the enervating spirit within your soul? My soul's angry at what I see going on. I don't know about you folks, but mine's angry. The passion wells up with me. If Yahweh gave me a sword, there'd be a lot of dead people in this world right now. Why? Because they've committed capital crimes, and the Word says they should be destroyed. They're defective. Send them back to the Father. You sure as hell don't give them a free rein in this world and turn your eye away. I just noticed the clock, we're out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I ask for forgiveness if my anger caused me to say things I should not say. I ask your forgiveness and my brothers and sisters' forgiveness. I ask that you bring truth to our ears and our hearts and our minds, because truth will only be the thing that saves us. Truth and nothing but the truth. Be with those that hear this, Father, that it might reach ears meant to hear, and for those that have eyes to see Awaken your spirit within us, Father, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.